Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue in our series of Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at one verse which describes for us a warning faith. And that warning faith is lived through Noah. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll begin reading one verse in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this morning, we are very much aware of the fact that there is a real battle between good and evil that is taking place in our country and in our world. And Lord, this is not a new battle. Father, this is, according to the scriptures, what has been around since the Garden of Eden. But God, we thank you for men such as Noah, who took very seriously God's warnings, heeded them, and Lord, lived by them so that they can serve today for us in 2008 as an example of warning faith. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us here this morning to examine our hearts to see if we are living a warning faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting as we examine the life of Noah and think about who he was to realize that as we talked last week about a walking faith as demonstrated through Enoch, that was Noah's great-grandfather. We also realize that his grandfather was Methuselah. And knowing that Methuselah was the one who lived longer than any other man in the Bible, it's very realistic to state that he was alive during the days of Noah. And furthermore, we understand that his father, Lamech, was also used of God. And we realize now that here Noah is seeking to live out in a very similar situation to you and me. Now, God is not going to ask any of us to go out this afternoon and to build an ark, fortunately. I think if God were to ask me to do that, we would all sink the first day. But we don't have to go there. But you know, God does desire for every single one of us to understand, appreciate, and practice a warning faith. And that is something that every single child of God can and furthermore must live by if he's going to be all that God wants him to be. We examine the life of this great man of God and we realize, first of all, that he demonstrated a warning faith. He demonstrated a warning faith. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I'm sure if it were feasible for you and me to somehow up on these screens behind me project what the literal end of the world is going to be like, what the literal battle of Armageddon will be like, what the literal tribulation will be like here on this earth, I am more than convinced that every single one of us would leave here today with a passion such as never before imagined, seeking to go out and reach this lost and dying world. But do you realize that Noah, again, just like you and me, was not able to have projected on the screen what the flood was going to be like, was not able even to get out a book and see a diagram of how to make an ark. The Bible says that it was of things not yet seen. Doesn't that sound like Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when we think about what we're asking God to do this year to increase our faith, it's absolutely essential that we not prop ourselves up on that carnal support and saying, I'll believe it when I see it. Noah was a devout man. The Bible says here, and the verse 7, after the first part there, it says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. his piety manifested itself in his fear of the Lord. Now, when we talk about people that are devoted, it's interesting to see those that would consider themselves to be devoted to a cause. And you may find those that will have certain bumper stickers on their car. You may find those that go about and have a particular emblem that they may wear on their lapel. We think of those that are concerned about others around them and perhaps concerned about financial predicaments in which they may find themselves. And so they'll go out and try and offer financial advice. You think of those that are concerned about politics. And if we've ever had people that are trying to tell us one way or the other, there are a lot of people out there that are rallying behind a cause because that is what they are devoted to. But what should you and I be devoted to? It ought to be that every single one of us can appreciate the fear of the Lord, and in light of the fear of the Lord, will be concerned this week about going out and telling another lost soul that they have to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ if they want to avoid the impending judgment. Amen. But unfortunately, if I were to survey our crowd this morning, I'm very certain that over the last 7 days, not every single one of us here has gone out and has demonstrated true piety, true devotion to God by going out and sharing the gospel with this lost and dying world. Do you know what's interesting when we think about his fear of the Lord and being moved with fear? He did not second guess God. No, it would have been normal. It would have been the perhaps most immediate response for any of us to encounter or to deliver, to think of somehow being communicated that it's going to be a flood when you have never seen so much as a drop of rain. Now, you know, you try and talk to people about other areas of the world, and I like to think about the opportunity that I had of going to see the Grand Canyon a few years ago. And you think nothing can remotely come close to describing what it is like when you step up to the rim of the Grand Canyon for the first time. But in preparation for that, I had seen pictures. And of course, we all say pictures don't do it justice. And I had talked with other people who had been there before and described the experiences that they had encountered. And I had gone and seen valleys and been on mountains before and looked down over the area around us. And you think of Skyline Drive, and I had seen cliffs and things like that. But nothing was quite the same. But here, Noah, he's never encountered a flood. He doesn't have a clue what it's going to be like outside of the specific instructions given to him by God. Now, what is your response to the specific instructions given by God to you today? You know, a lot of times we may think about warning this world of the impending judgment of God, and we may say, all right, Lord, that's for somebody else to do. Okay, God, you know, there's going to be, just as we heard this morning, there's going to be plenty of time before I need to do anything like that. You know, we can look to the future and we can wait until we've got another more opportune moment. But you know, when God warned Noah, Noah took God seriously. He was devout, but he was also determined. He was also determined. The Bible says there, moved with fear, prepared an ark. His preparation manifested itself in following the Lord. In following the Lord. He faced ridicule. He faced rejection. He faced riotous living by those around him, but in all of these things, he was righteous. He was righteous. Keep in mind that Noah spent 120 years building an ark, something he had never seen before, to keep him safe in the flood, something he had never sensed before. The exact length of the cubit during Noah's time is not completely certain, but using the most conservative figure, it would be about 7.5 inches. So on that basis, the ark was approximately 438 feet long, 73 feet wide, and 44 feet high. In other words, it was nearly 1.5 times the length of a football field and more than 4 stories high. Since it had 3 decks, the total deck area was almost 96,000 square feet. And the total volume within the decks was about 1.3 million cubic feet. Now, was Noah determined? I'd say he was. You know, it would have been very easy for him to have heard God's instructions and to begin to assess the measurements that God had laid out for him and to say, "Now, Lord, I'm one man. God, I've got 3 sons. But how is it going to be remotely possible for me to build something of this magnitude?" And yet, God had told him to do it. And he didn't stand back and he didn't try and figure out another way. He said, "Yes, Lord, I will do it." Can you imagine what it must have been like for those that were there watching Noah over this 120-year process and seeing all of the effort and labor going into this venture? And keep in mind, they didn't have the sawmills that we have today. They weren't able to go down to Home Depot and buy some tar to be able to make that ark waterproof. They weren't able to get on the internet and have the lumber delivered directly to their front door. They had to prepare it all a piece at a time. 120 years. But he was determined to do what God had told him to do because he took seriously the warning that God had given. But Noah, as a reward for being devoted and for being determined, he was delivered. His persistence manifested itself in finding favor with the Lord. The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we study who Noah is. He is the first person in Scripture to be called just or righteous, where the Bible says in Genesis 6 and in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. But you know, he was not delivered because of his own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And in Romans 1 and verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as we think of what it was that Noah did, he demonstrated a warning faith. But also, he delivered a warning faith. He delivered a warning faith. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. I think sometimes when we think about Noah, our natural tendency is to go exclusively to Genesis. But actually, he is spoken of in a couple of other books outside of Genesis and Hebrews. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah warned others of God's impending judgment. Noah didn't have a Bible that he could go to. Noah wasn't able to go to even so much as the law and refer to that. But Noah heard God's word and Noah immediately acted upon it. And yet the result of being able to see God's deliverance was over 120 years out in the future. But day in and day out, he was faithful to the task that God had given to him. He knew that when God said something, he was going to do it. And as a result, he did his part in seeking to proclaim righteousness, to preach a message of judgment and of righteousness as found only in God. The Bible says that God was very patient with the people in Noah's day. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. God was patient with the people in those days. That's why the Bible says there in Genesis 6 and in verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, God is patient with us today. As we think of the all-powerful God that we serve, he could, just as much as he created this world by thought, so too could he destroy this world by a word. But he's so long-suffering, he's giving every single one of us an opportunity to heed his warning. He's also giving those of us who have already accepted him as our personal Savior time to take the message of that warning to this lost and dying world. Where is it that we are to find God's warnings today? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. As we understand the scriptures teaching us about the future events, as we think of the coming judgment of God upon this world, it's not something that is found solely through what the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts, but the Holy Spirit has inspired a book in which we will find the words of warning for this lost and dying world. And the Bible says in Psalm 19, in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What is the them to which he's referring? He's talked about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. And I submit to you this morning that they are found exclusively in God's holy word. They are found exclusively in this sacred, inspired book. Now, sometimes you and I can be a little hard-headed. You know, you think of the instructions that are given to you when you get a grill. I remember many years ago, shortly after we had gotten married, someone gave us a grill. And I thought, wow, this is really exciting. And I had heard that they'd given us money to go out and buy it. And so I had heard there when I was in the store that they would put the grill together for you. But there was a fee for that. And being newly married and thinking, hey, you know, we can save this money. This really isn't that important. And certainly we can go home and I can put this grill together. And I have to confess to you that when I got home and all of a sudden took out the 49,999 pieces that came with that grill, I realized that it wasn't going to be quite as simple as I had imagined. And as I tried to put some of the pieces together and tried to have a little bit of intuition, I also realized, after I had made several mistakes, that there was a guide that was given to me. Now, we men, for some reason, have a hard time seeking to follow instructions. Because for some reason, we tend to think, I can figure it out on my own. But you know, when you're finished by figuring it out on your own, and you have 10 pieces that are still sitting there in the floor, all of a sudden you begin to realize, maybe my own intuition was not quite as good as following the instruction manual. And you know, when it comes to our spiritual lives today, there are plenty of people who will listen to the message this morning, who will hear the fact that the warnings of God are contained in this holy book, and yet will go for the next 7 days and will not consistently spend time in this book seeking to know better the warnings of God. Why is that? It's not because we don't desire the end result. It's not because we don't desire to have a blessed life by God. But it's because we won't take the time to follow God's instructions. We think, I've got intuition. I've heard enough of the Bible. I've read it perhaps before. I was in Bible study fellowship and heard it taught to me. Why do I need to spend time in the warning manual? The reason is that God the Holy Spirit has given us this book so that we can know how the Lord wants us to walk, not just on Sundays, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every single day of our lives. But how can we know what His warnings are if we discredit His Word? You think of all the people who say, oh, well, it's not that important. After all, I've got this really great devotional book. And so what I've decided I'm going to do is I'm going to read this devotional book here. And in fact, you know, I find that I get more spiritually fed reading this devotional book than I do reading God's Word. What have I just done? I have discredited the Holy Word of God. Then there are those that seek to know what God wants for their lives, but they don't learn that because on a day-to-day basis, they disregard His Word. They hear the warning, but oh, it's not really going to happen. I mean, my unsaved loved ones, they're not really going to die in a place called hell, where the fire is never quenched, where the worm dieth not. That's not really going to happen. Come on now. And we begin little by little to take God's warning book and to disregard it. We hear that we are, as men, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And, well, that's fine for the pastor, or that's fine for the deacons, but, you know, I've got a different life. I'm not in a Christian setting. And after all, you just have to understand the way in which I was raised. We begin to disregard the principles found in God's Word. And we begin to allow our lives to be led by our feelings rather than by following what He has clearly laid out in this holy book. And then we have those that say, well, you know, this matter of increasing our faith, I think I can kind of just do that on my own. You know, after all, if I just kind of come to church and I sit here and I even sing the songs and I might even shake a few hands. And, you know, I think I can kind of do this on my own. And we begin to discount God's Word. We think of God's admonition as taught to us through those disciples when they pleaded with the Savior, Lord, increase our faith. And they realized it was impossible for them to do it on their own. And so too must you and I come to the same realization. But our faith must be concerned with God's warnings. We must heed God's warnings. How many souls would have gladly repented and entered the ark as they watched their loved ones and friends all around them drowning? How many parents must have beat upon the door pleading with Noah to let him in, but it was too late because God had shut the door? I remind you that today is the day of salvation. Today, God is still giving you the opportunity before He closes that door for all of eternity and closes the opportunities for you to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, referring back to the murmuring of the children of Israel there at the waters of Massah. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 3, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you know, there are people under the sound of my voice this morning that have come week after week and have still not heeded God's warning. My friend, I tell you this morning, your life could end today. God is giving you an opportunity this morning to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. For so that once and for all, you can come into the ark. You can come into the family of God. You can be born again through putting your faith in Jesus Christ. The decision is up to you. We think about the Lord's words to us in 2 Peter and how comforting they are, that He's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Not only must we heed His warnings. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, okay, Pastor, I've already been saved. I've already received Christ as my Savior. I've already heeded that warning from God. But then we must herald God's warnings. You see, it doesn't matter what response we may receive. Have you ever thought about the fact that they did not receive Noah's preaching? Not one single soul outside of the seven other members in his family heeded his message. But God still rewarded him. God was still pleased with his message. Why? Because he obeyed. He took that warning from God and he acted upon it. And he shared that message of a warning message with the lost and dying world. He obeyed unconditionally. He made no agreement with God. He did no bartering whatsoever. He obeyed Him unconditionally. And He obeyed Him completely. You know, I'm sure there must have been long, discouraging days when He was there building this massive vessel that had never been before built. When He's trying to envision what in the world is going to go in this monstrosity of a thing that I've got here. I mean, He begins to think then as time goes on and God shares with Him, you're going to bring the animals in, some of them 2 by 2, some of them 3 by 3. And He's thinking, how in the world am I going to get an elephant inside this thing? And He's thinking, God, now, I know I'm a man and I know I would never admit this in front of my wife, but I do not like snakes. And God, I don't know how you expect me to have snakes come into this vessel here. And Lord, you know, I must admit, I like our little house cat that we've got. I mean, you know, he's not such a bad fellow. He may be a little moody, but we can put up with that. But God, those cats that are this big, that have those big jaws and they have those sharp teeth, Lord, that's not really my kind of cat. You know, they don't always do what you tell them to do. But he was obedient completely. He followed God's clear-cut instructions and he obeyed consistently. He obeyed consistently. Have you ever thought of what it would have been like if Noah had followed God's instructions for all the wood, if Noah had made everything according to the proper dimensions, and yet had said, now God, I can have this structure here, but since I've never seen rain, I really don't see any need to put a roof on this thing. And God, you know, I can put the door in and I can certainly understand that. And Lord, we'll work around how that's going to get closed, because I don't understand that at this point in time, although you're telling me to build one. And God, we can have the three decks inside there and the different floors, and somehow we can have the different compartments for each one of those animals. But God, I don't see any need to put a roof on this thing. He obeyed God consistently. He listened to every single detail. And also, we know that he obeyed God blindly. Blindly. You know what a lot of times we want to do with God? We want to say, Lord, if you'll just show it to me, I'll do it. God, if you just lay it out for me, I'll go ahead and I'll build this. He was talking about things he hadn't seen. But he had faith. Faith in an all-powerful, all-knowing God. I remind us this morning that our days in which we live are no different than the days of Noah. Jesus told us it would be so in the days leading up to his coming. And in Matthew 24, verses 38 and 39, Jesus Christ said, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, you know, when we think about warnings, I had to laugh this last week as I was coming to work one day, coming down Route 123. And if you know Route 123, you are aware it is a 55 mile an hour road at this stretch in front of Burke Lake Park and just heading east towards Route 95. And as I was driving to work, I had to laugh as I saw this car go by, and it said on it, "Believe Jesus ye and let's go to heaven." And I don't know if the guy was trying to get to heaven right then, or if he was really concerned that maybe he wasn't going to make it to heaven and he better hurry up and try and get things done quickly as he was flying down well over the speed limit. You know, that's not what God desires for us this morning in terms of sharing with this world the warning signs of his return. God wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live in such a fashion that by our actions and our words, the world is condemned. I ask you, are your neighbors uncomfortable around you because they know of your testimony? I don't mean that you can't ever get together, but are they aware of your faith in God? Are your coworkers a little uneasy when you invite them out to lunch or when you get together in a group setting? Or do they consider you just one of the gang, just like anybody else? It ought to be that your lifestyle, both through how you live, your manner of living, and both through what you say, your message, is communicating to them there is a difference. And that difference is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Paul wrote, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Now, whether you heed God's warnings or not, does not lessen one iota the final result. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This morning we had presented for us a battle of good versus evil. And it's very easy for us in our daily living to forget about God, to focus on this project I've got, to think about this homework assignment, to think about just getting through another day and changing all the diapers and getting the laundry done and keeping the house clean. But let's not lose sight of the bigger picture. Let's not forget that God has, by divine appointment, left you and me, those of us who have put our faith and trust in Him, to be an example on this earth and to warn the wicked. Time does not permit for us to look at Ezekiel, to examine our text from last year's theme, warning every man. But that is your job and mine. It's not the job of the pastor. No, it's the job of the child of God. It's not the job of the deacons. No, it's the job of every single one of us who claims to be a part of the family of God. But what are you going to do this week? How are you going to change your life in light of God's warnings? Do you need to spend more time in this book? Do you need to go out this week and seek to warn the wicked of the impending judgment? I close with this from Romans 13, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God, we thank You for Your long suffering. Lord, for Your patience. We thank You for Your warnings. And Lord, I pray that we would heed them. Lord, I know this morning there are some here, men, women, teenagers, that have not received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God, may they realize that this is not a joke. This is not a scare tactic. But Lord, this is a very real, imminent warning from God Almighty. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and would draw men to Him today. And Father, for those of us that are saved, Lord, it's very easy for us, even as we reflect on a friend day, to think, wow, who am I going to invite? I'm so busy, I don't have time for that. But God, as we were reminded even by way of personal testimony this morning, we must make time to invite the lost. Lord, it's not up to us to give the end result, but it is up to us to have faith in You. And God, this week, we can't let these 7 days go by without being faithful and obedient to Your command. Speak, Lord, to our hearts and challenge us as only You can. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you've put all your faith and trust in Him, having heeded His warning with no doubt whatsoever, and heaven will be your eternal home. Would you hold your hand up for just a moment to give testimony to that fact? Yes, my sins are forgiven. Yes, I know that heaven will be my home someday. Thank you. You may put your hands down. If you're here this morning and you didn't raise your hand, I appreciate your honesty. But how many of you would say, Pastor, this matter of this warning, this matter of this impending judgment has not been something that I've taken seriously. But you'd say, pray for me today. Pray for me that I will heed God's warning, and pray for me that this day I will be able to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have all my sins forgiven once and for all. If that's your prayer this morning, would you hold your hand up for just a moment? You'd say, I'm not saved. I've never made that decision before, but I'd like to today. Teenagers, men, women, if God is speaking to your heart, hold your hand up for just a moment and say, pray for me that my sins might be forgiven and that I could be born again into the family of God. Anyone at all? While no one is looking around, how many of you would say, Pastor, I have heeded God's warning, but I haven't heralded God's warning as a preacher of righteousness. By my life, others have not been drawn to Christ. And you'd say, pray with me that this week that I will do my part, both in my manner of living and in my message, to tell this world of the warning given to us in God's holy word. The Lord has spoken to your heart about that this morning. Would you hold your hand up for just a moment? You'd say, yes, that is my desire. That is my prayer. This week, that I will do my part. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Our Father in heaven, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would continue to speak to our hearts today. And Father, that we will leave this place in a few moments a different people than when we came. Because as the Holy Spirit has prodded us, we will respond to His leading. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.